My guest, Coach Kevin Johnson, is here. Edgar was just saying that he is starting to doubt how good a coach you are. And I think it goes back to something I picked up in reading about what you admit, is that having taken this job as the head coach at Kaizer Chiefs also contributed or has contributed towards what you would call a tainted image. Would you agree with that?
Yes. My own image, yes. Tainted, yes. But again, Rob, when you are able to look at the stats after the season and things like that, if you that type of person and not just judging on one game and things like that, we were the third best team as far as possession was concerned within the PSL last year.
Yeah.
We lost games in the 85th minute, the 86th minute.
Critical stages
of the game. We either conceded, either in the first or in the last. And that is where you look at your athlete and you want to find out from them what do they do in those moments. Because no matter where we are, no matter what coach is coaching the team, if mistakes are made in the critical stages of the game, whether you concede in the first half, second half, late, you as the person in charge of the team is not able to coach that, because it was a lot of our goals conceded were not, how can I say it, not tactically driven goals whereby the team had the ball for 6 or 7 passes or 3 passes and they made 3, 4 good passes and their players moved in the right position. No, it was one-on-one tackles, stay on your feet, those type of areas whereby you expect a professional player to do that at the critical time of the game.
If you were to write a book next week, I don't know if you have any thoughts of writing a book at all. Do you? No?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Can I suggest a title?
Yes, please.
3 numbers. 251.
Okay.
You understand what that is?
No? You can explain it to me.
251 days spent in Nature Arena. I don't know if you're aware of the time spent.
I it was so quick start, so quick end, that I was not even able to count the days.
I've counted them for you.
Oh, thank you.
That's the headline. 251 days in Nature Arena is all you need to do and say and write. Because, I mean, you talk about the record where 22 games were played. There were 6 wins in that time. There were 7 draws and 9 losses. And somebody asked on the YouTube channel now, let me get that. Sibusiso Mlindo, he was saying, greetings, Rob. Please ask Coach Johnson about his coaching philosophy. How does Coach Johnson prepare a team? What are his beliefs, methodology, and how he wants his team to play? So in a nutshell, how would you summarize a Kevin Johnson approach to football and whether or not that approach and methodology was able to manifest itself at Kaizer Chiefs?
My methodology is always attacking football.
Yeah.
It's never been any other way. In all the teams we've coached, all the team I've coached involved in. And it's always to try and start and play from the back. Have good midfielders that are able to do a job and have strikers who are able to put the ball in the back of the net. And this was the problem. From what we were doing on the training pitch again, I say, and what was executed in the game and how they were executed, those were questions that were always asked. And it was always looking at what went wrong the weekend, preparing for the next weekend, mindful of the opponent you're going to play against and making sure that you cover all the areas where the opponent has strength and making sure that your weaknesses of the previous game is touched on and your strengths as far as individual players are concerned is put in the team if they are training well in order to stop the opponent.
Where then comes the disconnect, coach? Because in the analysis, the final analysis of players that play well, show resolve at training, as the head coach, you would expect them to transfer that they do at the training field to a match day situation.
Exactly.
But there was nothing of that. There was a clear disconnect.
For sure. There was a clear disconnect in, like we just said previously, critical moments of the game. You are leading the game or you need to win this game. And in a critical moment in the 95th minute, we have a free kick in the opponent's half. And what do you do as a management of the game then, as a player? You take a quick free kick. And by doing that, your players are all behind you.
Mm.
So you
and you lose possession.
You lose possession.
Yeah.
Or you have an out ball against you and you give the opponent the ball and they have a quick throw in. You are in no man's land and you can't defend the ball. So those are little things that as man management from players, I thought we lacked a lot in those areas. I thought we did not have enough of those type of I don't know if I should call them leaders or those type of man management players on the pitch.
Again, that almost agrees with what I said, that individuals let you down in that team. I look at the Kaizer Chiefs historically, and you've been on this earth longer than I have, which means that your knowledge of Kaizer Chiefs would probably be better than mine in many ways. But I've known, and I zoom into one position here, goalkeeping. So maybe the big fault of Itumeleng Nkune is that he was so good. He was so good for so long that maybe somewhere, somehow, those that came after him had big shoes to fill. An immediate need for those shoes to be filled. And historically, Kaizer Chiefs have always had great goalkeepers who would last for many seasons. Whether it was Peter Ballack, Gary Bailey, William Shongwe, you name it. Those were solid goalkeepers. And then the era, you know, Wade Duplessis comes to mind. Then the era of Brian Baloyi, then the era of Itumeleng Nkune then pops up. And he holds the fort very well. Would you say now, and obviously what I'm about to say might be proven because our Chiefs have gone for a goalkeeper that they would look at. And I think that's one of the things the new technical team have asked for, is a goalkeeper of significant strength and ability. How much of, I mean, without zeroing in on just one area, do you think the goalkeeping department, because it changed so frequently and there was no level of consistency of one person being dominant there, whether that worked for or against the team?
Rob, I think when I came in, I think we gave Bruce his opportunity. And in all respect to Bruce, he done very well. He had 8 clean sheets. Out of the 8 clean sheets, if we won 7 of those games today, we would have been 3rd on the log. But I think that you can only hold the fort for so long. And if you win the game, automatically the goalkeeper says, I need to keep a clean sheet. And it goes on and on and on. And if we score the goals, everything just gets better and better and better. I mean, I always said that when we were at Sundowns and we won the league, Brian Baloyi and Kelly Martin were responsible for 15 of those points when we won the league at Al Ahly. And probably Pizzo will tell you this as well. We won the league because Shanawi was so good. So your goalkeeper can only be as good as the players in front of him and whatever he's listening to. And when you look at the 8 clean sheets we had, the team was playing well. We did certain things that we trained with and everything, but we just didn't have the, in one moment I say maybe luck, in another moment we just didn't have the right technique to score the goals.
Good evening, Mr. Rob. It's Sulu Filang here, and good evening to the MSW Shoulders, and good evening to Coach Kevin Johnson. I would just want to ask one thing. Does he believe that he was brought into a situation where he couldn't save Kaizer Chiefs? Because, I mean, they had probably a horrendous start to the DStv Premiership season, losing games that they were not supposed to be losing, dropping as many points in the opening half of the season, or maybe in the opening 10 games, they were not as successful. Does he believe when he was, you know, rather, if I can say, promoted as the interim head coach, did he, in his heart of hearts, believe that he was brought into a situation where he could not save the club? Knowledgeable as he is, because I do believe that he is one of those knowledgeable coaches, but did he believe that he was brought into a situation where he could not save the club in that dire, dire situation? Great, as always. Thanks.
Hello, Falang. Thank you so much indeed. Coach, how do you answer that?
Rob, if I'm honest, I do believe that I was not brought into Kaizer Chiefs to be the head coach. In my heart of hearts, it was a shock, as probably a shock to you if I tell you I was never brought into Kaizer Chiefs to be the head coach. And I did it purely on the basis that the chairman said, can you help me? And because, I said this before, because of my experience at Platinum Stars and AmaZulu, I said, I probably can try something, Mr. Chairman, but I'm not guaranteeing you anything. And he said, please help me. And for sure, we did okay in the first part of my era being there. And I tried with all my little tools that I have in my head. And credit must go to the technical team as well that was around me. Mm-hmm. They really, really, really tried. We really tried. But on match day, like we said early on, you cannot put the ball in the net. You cannot make management decisions that they should be able to do playing for a big club like Kaizer Chiefs.
I've got to go for a break, but I'm tempted on the back of that answer to ask you then that chairman having asked you to help a situation that moves you into a position that you were not supposed to have been a part of when you walked in at Natch Arena, then for you to lose two jobs, why are those people then not saving you and saying, okay, in your helping, it didn't work, but what we brought you here for, the academy, can we still proceed? Those are two different things. But here you are, while helping, you lose a job and you lose the original job. So two jobs lost.
I think it's history. Yeah, the second job lost was purely because the team has come up with the restructuring plan. And I said, if I'm not in the restructuring ways, or if I'm not in the restructuring plan you have, then we part ways.
Sure.
Hashtag MSW live now on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW.
Coach Kevin Johnson, my guest. Plenty of your WhatsApp voice notes coming through. Also, see Sponelo and Mhlengi on the line in Durban and Joburg South. Please don't go anywhere.
Hi, Rob. This is Mthusi Mayapa from Pretoria. Hi, Coach Kevin. I just want to ask if you actually think that the players at Chiefs, or do you still think there are players at Chiefs that are surplus to requirements, and who do you think is the best player at Chiefs at the moment? Thank you.
Surplus to requirements and the best player at Kaizer Chiefs, Coach, would be who?
You want me to answer that?
Yeah, please help us, Coach.
I think there's quite a few good players at Kaizer Chiefs. There's a mentality thing that I hope that the young ones that I've given an opportunity to come out and shine, like your Villagazi, like your Donny Jansen. They come out and have the opportunity in the next season to really play. But there's always good players at Kaizer Chiefs. It's how you, what time you have to put them together.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you think of my time at Kaizer Chiefs, 6 months, it took Alex Ferguson 5 years before he got it right at Manchester. It's taken Steve Barker a good few years to get it right, and he's got it right now. You've got to give him credit. He's got it right now. He's got a good team. He's competing with the rest. It's taken Mamelodi Sundowns a good few years to dominate like they have been dominating now. And in all respect, they are playing a good brand of South African football, and they are winning. Pirates, in its own mind, in its own space that it is, they play good football. But it's taken Jose a lot of time, 2 years at least. So I think it's about the time given to the players and the rollout of who stays and who goes in the next few years that will tell you really what are really good players at Kaizer Chiefs. For me to say the time I spent there, I think that X is probably the best player they've ever had at Kaizer Chiefs. No, because the past of Kaizer Chiefs is so important to carry on. Who has emulated Dr. Kumalo? And Dr. Kumalo has left Kaizer Chiefs 15 years ago? No one. Who has emulated the Ace Kuses of this world? No one. In all respect to Jabu Phule, there's no one that's come near Jabu Phule in many years, not just Kevin Johnson's little 6 months. No. In the last 5-6 years, no one has emulated those type of players.
Well, you'd say 9 years, because it's been 9 years of drought for the team.
In my mind is, why has that not been kicked on? Why has Kaizer Chiefs not had those players coming through or buying those type of players? You know, paying a lot of money for those type of players? I don't know.
Let me go to Sponelo in Durban. Thank you so much for your patience. I'll come to you, Mhlengi, in a second. I'll go through all the voice notes as quickly as we possibly can. Good evening, Sponelo.
Good evening, Darob.
Yeah, welcome. And Coach is here.
Yeah, good evening, Coach Johnson.
Good evening, my friend.
Yeah, I just want to ask two questions quickly. I just want to ask, were you influenced by management not to play Itumeleng Khune? Because you'll remember that when he renewed the contract, Kaizer Chiefs made it clear that this was his last playing contract. But Itumeleng Khune, every time when he speaks, he always says that he's willing to go on and play more seasons. Were you influenced by management not to play him? And the second question is, what was the main challenge for you as a coach not to make Kaizer Chiefs to win from the time you took over in October up until the season finished? What was the main challenge not to be able to put in a team that can challenge for the league and also to win all the games? Thank you very much. It's Bonelo in Durban. I'll listen from the radio.
Sbonelo, thank you so much indeed. I appreciate it. Let me double up with Mhlengi. Mhlengi, thank you very much for your patience. Good evening.
Good evening, Prof. I'm going to be very quick.
Sure.
The coach has mentioned that he manages the game before the game, at halftime, as well as post the match. I find that very strange and very not understanding what he's saying by that. Because when he said players should manage the game themselves inside, he's got a view on the touchline to tell the players what to do, because he's entrusted with those powers. What does he mean by that? And for me, it sounds like there was a bit of a disconnect between him and players. And perhaps maybe the incident on what may look like an incident between him and Peterson, was it him losing the dressing rooms?
Okay, valid questions, Mhlengi. Thank you very much indeed. Coach, let's start with the last one. I'll work backwards here. Managing before and post the game, he says you've got the view from the touchline. And was there the loss of the dressing room based on that Brandon Peterson incident?
The Brandon Peterson incident, I think it's just what the eye sees. Mm. And when you hear it from the horse's mouth, then you'll understand. No, there was never a loss of the dressing room. I think we all were very, very, very sad that we could not do what our chairman had built, and we could not do what the chairman asked us to do in order to keep the team at the highest possible level within the PSL. So the Brandon incident was, like I say, what the eye sees and what the people write is what we think happens. That was never one of the problems.
But what the eye saw was a blatant confrontation.
Yes, it looks like it wasn't. It was not.
Yeah.
It looks like we are having an argument and things like that, but that was never the case.
And then just maybe a quick summary of your idea of what the management of a situation is when you've got full view from the touchline in terms of expecting the players then to manage certain situations.
The one thing about Kaizer Chiefs is that you always play in front of a crowd. You never play in front of 500 people only. So, yes, what I talk about is when you manage a game, you manage it post the game, before the game, halftime. But when you have 20,000 people screaming and the free kick is on the far side of the pitch and you are either winning the game or going home with a point, and the free kick is for you, you cannot tell that player what to do.
So you'd leave it to them.
But that moments are the moments I'm talking about, where the player uses his brains and says, you know what, we have the free kick. We want the point. Because if we go and move the point, we're still okay.
So you entrust them with that responsibility.
You entrust them with that responsibility. Yeah. Say, well, hold the free kick. Let our players get organized, get well organized defensively or get well organized attackingly. So we show our intent either to defend the ball, so we play the free kick backwards, or to attack the ball, so we play the free kick forward. And that's the moments you talk about. Players should understand where they are. And I'm sure you will notice in the current or the past Euro how players manage the game. Mm. Because you are playing in stadiums that have got 60, 70,000 people. And if any coach in the world tells me that he can relay a message to the player on the far side, then he must be a servant of God. And that is what I'm talking about. Those are the game managements that we talk about.
All right, let's step down from the altar, get back on the field, deal with the issue around maybe what could have been managed. Somebody on the YouTube channel I saw early on was asking the question about the Sekhukhune game, for example, where in an event where the corner kick to the opposition happened and immediately there was a substitution that came through from Kaizer Chiefs' side, and the subsequent free kick that or the corner kick that had been halted for the substitution to happen then resulted in the goal. I don't know if that's a game that you do remember. And what would have spurned that substitution to happen where you are defending a corner kick, for example?
I'm trying to figure the game, Rob.
Yeah. Okay, let me give you 40 seconds to think about it quickly. Let me take this WhatsApp voice note.
Evening, Mr. Marawa, and evening to the coach. For starters, I think the coach listening to him talking now, I think he shouldn't blame himself for what happened at Kaizer Chiefs. For example, he took the team late. There was no time for him to instill his playing style. There was no time for him to try and get the players that he feels might have made a change in that team. Because when you look at Chiefs, apart from their number nine, they don't really have an out-and-out striker, a striker that gets goals for them. They didn't have one in the season. So that is also one major problem. And if you look at them, they didn't even score much goals in the season. That shows that it was a team that lacked an out-and-out striker. To compare them to their rivals, Orlando Pirates. So I think he must not blame himself. And I think also he feels good. The players let him down. It was a plot to Guti Bamri. It was a plot that he should leave. That also shouldn't bother him. He's a well-renowned coach. We know him. We know his pedigree. He must know Guti. The Kaizer Chiefs is not the end for him. Maybe a question for him, what happened to the role that he was actually hired for? When he couldn't make it as a head coach, then what happened to the role that he was actually hired for? Great show as always, Mr. Marawa.
But thank you so much indeed. Appreciated that. Say that you must not blame yourself for these situations. Any idea who's now stepped in? I know that there's a whole technical overhaul that's happened at Kaizer Chiefs. Are you aware of what's going to happen at the academy and the position which you were initially entrusted with?
No, Rob.
Not?
No. I just know that the institution is taking a restructuring role, and that's what they're doing.
The influence by management regarding Itumine Nkune, I think I missed that one. Any comment on that?
No. There was never an influence. I have to say that honestly.
Yeah.
We probably had René Tinkelaar, mm-hmm. who was the founder of Itumine Nkune,
yeah.
if I may say that.
No, for sure.
And yes, when we got there, Itu came, I think he was injured when I started, and he came back and then he had a problem, if you remember.
Yes.
And then he came back, but he was always positive in the team, Itu.
Yeah.
But I'm always guided by those people because they're part of my technical team. And when Itu was available to play, Bruce was doing well.
Yes.
And if you ask you get the goalkeeper coaches and you put them down and say, which one? What do you think? I'm playing like this, I'm playing like that. Mm. They'd always come back. And René is as honest as all Germans are.
Quick one, coach. 5-1. You lose to Mamelodi Sundowns. It's a game where they dominate ball possession, 78%. You have 22 goal attempts, 18. You have 4. Shots on goal, 9. You have 2. Game management. Well, what is it that you even say to the players then?
That is one of the games we knew we were going to play against a very good oil team in Sundowns.
Yeah,
I thought the killer blow there was the red card to Given. I thought that threw all tactics out of the window, because then we had to look, because it was one of my main players, which is my central defender, and he had a specific job to do on Peter Shaulile and how we were going to close the midfield and how we had a plan for that whole game, and the red card threw it all out the window. And coming back, we had to do a lot of other things, like play a different system, play with less players, up front, let's play. So we
chase the game.
We chase the game basically. Yeah. But in saying the red card, I do think that we should have got a free kick before the red card.
Quickly, I'm out of time. What's your next stop?
A little bit of a sabbatical now.
2 weeks?
Yes, sir. Hopefully.
Still in time for you to have a job in the new season?
I don't know. There's a lot of the teams have their coaches, and a lot of the teams have done their probably three quarters of their preseason already.
What's your wish?
My wish? I have so many wishes, Rob.
Give me one.
To write the book 251.
Hashtag MSW live now on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW.